Hey, Lane, how's it going?
It's going all right, Rob. Yourself?
I'm doing well, doing well. Listen, we're getting started here again on this new show. So what do you want to talk about today?
Well, the new year has me thinking about sales goals for this coming year, Rob. I thought about setting a high number as my sales goal, but I'm not sure that's the best idea. I was thinking, you know, should I aim high or should I try to set something more realistic?
Interesting. All right. We could talk about that. We could talk about sales goals and, you know, what you want to set, what you should be setting. By the way, hey, if you're new here, I'm Rob.
And I'm Lane.
And today we're going to talk about how to set the right sales goal. So maybe what Lane is asking is the right question, or it might not be. I'm not sure. We're going to get into that. But I think what we want to make sure is we're not just setting a goal for the purpose of setting a goal. If you're worried about setting a sales goal that's too high or too low, we're going to break it down into all these different little pieces and help you set a goal that's achievable and has a little insight to it. So here we go.
You're listening to the Slow Pitch Podcast, a podcast about selling less and closing more.
All right, so today we're going to talk about sales goal and how to set a good sales goal. I feel like there's a couple things that I want to make sure everybody kind of takes away from today's episode. One is what makes a good, strong, productive goal. So I don't think we need to talk about SMART goals because I think everybody's kind of tired of that and everybody knows what SMART goals are. It's like, okay, but some of the concepts we'll get into. It won't be the same, but it'll be close. But more importantly is where do you start setting a goal? And then how do you set goals that actually work? So I've seen so many people set goals on so many different things. Really what it comes down to is like the 1st of January, everybody sets a goal. By January, 21, everybody's like, that was a fun goal, but I'm not going to do that this year because it was just a thought, a fleeting thought. And I thought I might do it, but I'm not really doing it. So, or they just give up on their goal. So usually somewhere around end of January, beginning of February, maybe mid-February, if you're really strong. But there's some tricks to making this really happen. So we'll get into some of that. And those are the main takeaways I want to make sure everybody gets is, you know, what makes a good goal? What makes a good productive goal? Where to start and how to set goals that actually work. So I have a question for you, Lane.
Shoot.
How do you determine what is a good sales goal and what is a not so good sale?
When I'm setting goals, I try to be realistic about what I think I can accomplish, but you really never know day to day what's coming through the door. So I guess I'm to a degree, I'm kind of lost as to what that good goal really should be.
All right, that's fair. So I think then some of the follow-up question I would ask would be, and probably more important is, do you have any long-term goals that you're trying to get to? Meaning for your business, you know, you have a business that does website development and so forth. Is there a goal that you have like, hey, in 5 years, I want to do X or be at X or do different things, whatever is that? Do you have any of those long-term goals?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I know because we're on a podcast, we probably don't want to like share everybody what those goals are. Like, yeah, I want to be $1 million and sit. No, I don't. Okay. So we don't need to know that, but you have those goals. And then I'm assuming because you have those, you have some short-term stuff like, hey, by the end of this year, it'd be nice if I can get here in 6 months, I'd like to be able to do this. Right.
Right. Right.
Cool. And I'm assuming, and this is all the assumptions that we're probably going to want to make sure that everybody else has out there too, is that each of your short-term goals line up to your long-term goal. Meaning that just because you have a short-term goal of going down road X for whatever reason you're doing this for to follow this type of business, that does that fit into then the larger goal of where you want to get to? And if it doesn't fit, then you probably should reevaluate that short-term goal. But I'm assuming all those align, right?
Yeah. Always.
Let's say that again. Let's say that with some conviction, because I don't think you really had conviction on that. So do they all align?
They 100% align, Rob.
Okay. I hope so. Let's get into some of the meat of setting these goals. I think probably the most important part to start with is what is a productive goal? And I find, and I said earlier, was that a lot of people set the wrong goals. So usually I hear people say something like, I want to lose weight, or I want to make X number of dollars in my revenues or sales or whatever it is, right? But really what it comes down to is what's the real goal? What are you trying to get accomplished? There's some pieces of critical thinking that goes into setting a strong goal that's different than most people think. It's not just an arbitrary number. So let's start to back at the beginning of what's it take to set a good goal. First thing I would say is where are you headed and what are you trying to do? A long time ago, I was hired by a company to be kind of like a dream, I don't know, helper.
A dream catcher.
a dream catcher. Kind of, yeah, okay. Now we're not quite a dream catcher, but somebody that would help people in their business go after and achieve their dreams and figure out how to do it because it would make them happier in life. So that kind of got me to thinking, how does that fit into goals? And what we ended up finding that when we were dealing with these employees, they didn't know how to get from point A to point B. And again, these were hourly employees. These were employees who weren't doing sales. They weren't doing any of those types of things, but they were trying to figure out how do we get there. And I think it was really important to go through that exercise with them because some of those folks actually did accomplish their dreams of one of them wanted to go to Disney World with their kid for the first time. They'd never been there. They've never had enough money. They have a credit card debt. They didn't know how to get there. So there's elements that are similar in terms of life goals and what have you that correspond to sales goals. So I think you want to start with your dream of what you want to go to. And if you're listening out there and you're going, oh God, is this guy going to just tell me to dream big? No, I am not going to tell you. Just think of it and it'll appear in front of you. No, it does not happen that way. I don't care what people say. What does happen is if you say it, it will expose itself to you. However, you do have to do some work. And there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. So if you were to build your, let's say, roster, your list, your things of what you want to do in your life, what does that look like? And do you know what that is? So if you don't already have a list of, hey, I want to be able to, you know, maybe this year I want to go to Hawaii once this pandemic is over, right? Or I need to buy a new car. Or long-term, I want to pay off my house and I have five years left. How do I do that? What else?
I want to retire by a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, be able to go on, you know, be able to travel, do whatever it is.
Yeah. So those goals are really important. And I think it's important to write those down. Now, that's one piece and everybody can do that just fine. I think that's where what people do. And I think then people stop and they think, okay, I got my goals. I'll get there. And that's not how you get there. So the next step of that is really how much of a, you know, behind each one of those goals, how much meaning does it have to you? Is this really important to you or is it just nice to have? So if it's really important for you to go to Hawaii, or if it's really important for you to get a new car, then that should be a high priority item. If it's really not that important that you pay off your house in the next 5 years, because you're actually, you know, 30 years away from paying off your house anyway, then okay, let's continue to make the house payment, but let's call that good, right? That's not so much a goal that you should be. So really what you want to do is boil down your goals, your long, short-term, your dream items, and say, what's really, really important? And if it's not that important, when you really look at it and analyze it, take it off the list, okay? Then I think the second piece is identifying what it is you need to survive. So what's the bare minimum you can live with? You need to pay your mortgage. You need to pay your water bill. You need to pay your electric bill. You need to get groceries. You need to have your car payment, your insurance, all the basics you need in your house, right? Do you know what that total number is for the entire year? I'm not asking you to share it with us, Lane, but do you know what that means? Every month you have to have this amount of money.
Yes, absolutely. I know, you know, by the month and what I need for across the year to make that happen.
Yeah. So generally most people have that idea of what that looks like. Now let's add on a layer. If you're the business owner, you have a business you own, or you're the salesperson, one of those two, and you have your household expenses. So if you're the business owner, you have business expenses. That also apply. You have to pay your monthly bills, just like everything else, just like your house, your rent for your office, if you're going to do that, or any digital things that you need to buy or pay monthly or whatever, all the things that goes into running your business every month, payroll, your tax bill, all of that stuff. And then are you going to invest in your retirement as well along the way? What does that take? And what do you need each month to get to that number from a business side, right? So when I add retirement in there, it's because it's going to come from your business. It's not coming from your household, right? So, and then is there a match? Are you doing a match if you're doing one of those types of accounts?
Right. Yeah.
So all those numbers, you better know that number. And most people as a business owner, you'll know those inherently or intuitively in your brain, but do you know it on paper? And can you speak to every little piece of that? Say, this is what I need to be at for the month to break even. This is what I need to make a profit, because the profit piece is going to be your supplemental piece. So don't just figure out your expenses. I want to know, what am I going to cover for my expenses for the business that it takes to run the business? I also want to know, I want to have this much in profit on top of that. And what does that look like? Minus tax. Once I know that, then I know, here's what I need to sell each month. So we're going to run through some round numbers and put your pen and paper to it. So if you're listening and you want to follow along with pen and paper, this is the time to do it. But think about it this way. If your business, number with all your monthly expenses, your payroll, your retirement, all those pieces, plus the profit you want. Let's say just for easy numbers, let's say you want to say you want to have $300,000 as your total number for the year. And then what is your personal number? Let's say you have from a personal side, $50,000 is what you need for the year. And again, I'm just making round numbers up. I don't doesn't matter if they're really accurate, because it's probably higher for a lot of people, lower for some others.
Well, and just because you survive on ramen noodles doesn't mean everyone else.
Correct. Yes. I can eat ramen noodles hours on end, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, have you ever had ramen with eggs? Anyway, so the total number then for that, those two numbers together is $350,000. Now that's one number. Big deal. Okay. There's your goal. No, that's not your goal. That's not at all your goal. That's what you need. Okay. Next, the next step would be, how many selling days do you have to get to that number? A lot of people would say, how many days do you have to sell in a year, Lane? How many? We'll just take a wild guess without.
Well, 365 minus the weekends, minus holidays, I suppose.
Yep.
And I guess if you're going to be generous to yourself, whatever vacation time you're taking as well.
Yes. Yes. So perfect. Yeah. That's what you would end up doing. So in 2021, there's 260 work days in the year. Now I say work days, I'm talking non weekends.
Right.
And then if you remove the holidays, it's 249 days. And if you decide you're going to take a couple weeks of vacation, a couple personal days here and there, let's say instead of having a 3-day weekend on Memorial Day weekend, you're going to have a 4-day and then Labor Day and same thing, Fourth of July, whatever. You're going to try to take an extra day here and there. So let's say you get 23 days, then you end up with 226 days in the year to sell. So if you say, I have 365 days, you're wrong.
Yeah, that's almost sobering to think that.
Yes.
You go from there's 365 days in the year to I've lost a third of that.
Yes, yes. It's sobering, in so much so that when I first did this, I went, whoa, there's less. So every day really counts. Every day really counts, because if you're not doing something on one day, big deal, right? Well, then you're down to 225 instead of 226. If you decide, you know what, I'm just going to screw around for a week and not really do much, but I'm going to be there at work. Okay. Well, you just lost another 7 days out or 5 days out of that, right? So 221 days. And if you do that 2 weeks in a row, you know, it doesn't take long and you're under 200. And that's a little scary. And what happens when you get behind, right? Now you got to catch up. Some people like to work from behind. Like they try like to catch up things all the time, but it's stressful. And I would rather not have that
pressure. Yeah. I don't like that pressure.
No. And most people don't, but some people do. And if you do, great. Then build into this that you have some time to have time off and decide that those times off are going to be real time off. And you actually have this many days. So you better count your days that you're not going to work, actual days you're not going to work. If you're going to decide you're going to have an extra 10 days, remove those numbers from your total days of selling days, right? So now you have your sales number, your total dollars that you need, 350,000. You have 226 days to sell that. What does that mean for the daily sales goal? And I think this is really daily sales goal. Yeah. Now, this is where it gets a little bit, we're like, what? I don't have a sales goal per day. That's crazy. But in the end, you should know what that looks like. It doesn't mean you're going to hit that number every day. Like when I sell, I don't sell. Some days I go days on end, no sales. But then another day, you might have an $8,000 sale. Okay. So that makes up for your other 4, 5, 6 days, whatever it takes for your number, right? So in this case, if you have $350,000 divided by 226, that's $1,548.67 for those of you that are high C's out there. if you're going to hit your goal, that's what you need, $1,548. Otherwise, you are short.
That's a fair amount of money every day.
Every day.
Again, another sobering fact.
Yeah. And most people don't know what that number is. They don't know the real number. They think they know. A lot of times, so early on, what I used to do, I used to look at the number in the business and go, all right, I know we need to have this much for monthly expenses, payroll. I want to have this much extra for profit and a little bit for retirement. That's my number. And that's not your number, because you still got to pay all your bills at home. And that's just going to get you so far. So after a few months, I went, whoa, this is not working. I need to sell a lot more than that. So I know I know probably some people out there listening going, well, you're stupid for thinking that. And you know what? You're probably right. But you know, which is the best lesson, learning it on your own or having somebody tell you? So I'm telling you, don't do what I do, but if you have to experience it, go do it, because it's not a lot of fun. You'll learn a lot more and faster. So
do as I say, not as I did.
Yes. Yes. So going back to setting the wrong goals, now that you know your number, how will you get there? And this is not, the number again is not the goal. I know that's, I'll say that, I don't know how many times I have to say this today. The number is not the goal.
Okay. So if that number that you need to meet your, I don't know, what's another word for goal, since we're not going to call this a goal, the target, if that target number is not the goal, what is the goal?
If you know your number, your daily number, you can break that down into weekly, or you can break it down into monthly. So what I used to do is I used to say, here's what I need every day. And then I would get stressed when I didn't close something for $1,500, let's say, right? So now what do you do? Okay, well, that's not that really the number that you need to hit for day. You need to average that, right? So if you said how much per week, that's a little bit more realistic. If it's per month, which is actually much more realistic to say, okay, I can have a bad sales day or two, but in the end of the month, if I'm hitting this number as an average, I'm good. That's really important to know. That being said, the question I have is what correlates to that goal, to getting to your number? What I mean by that is, if you think of it in terms of activities or things that you can do to get your sales there, not so much, this is my goal of sales, it's what do I need to do to get there? So it's kind of a back reverse engineered way of getting there to get to your goal. So to set your goal, you know your daily and weekly you're needed, what those numbers look like, or monthly, what tasks do you need to do to get to those numbers?
See, so those tasks become your goals.
Yes, those are your goals. All right, this is where I would refer you to a spreadsheet that I like to use in tracking your activities and your sales. And when you look at this spreadsheet, which by the way, we're going to put on the slowpitch.com website along with this episode. So you can download it if you would like. You can play around with it. You can adjust it and change it. That's all fine. But the concept is this. You're going to want to think of it in terms of where are they in the sales funnel and what are the activities that need to be done at each level of the sales funnel. So at the top of this particular spreadsheet, basically I have people that are outside of the sales funnel, not even on first base, and they're potential clients that don't even know they're potential clients. They are the types of people that are I'm meeting at networking events, that there are people that I meet at trade shows just walking around, or if I go to an expo, or if I had a lead come in from the website, or any other way, or cold calls, any other way you bring in a prospect. You're going to track that on this sheet. Now, mind you, once you know your numbers and your sales goals and what you need to do, you're going to also be able to set up monthly goals as to what you should be doing, how many of each one of these you need to do. So for example, how many networking events do I think I should be going to get a real conversation going with a potential client? On this particular sheet, I have down that I think I need to have 6 networking events that I go to. When I say networking events, I mean, they can be very simplified networking events, or they can be complex, meaning larger groups and so forth that I would normally go to. Whatever it is that you're going to measure, this is where you would put it. You put it on there and tell us, what is the item that you're doing that's going to track? What's your goal by day? And it'll populate out to the month, how many times you're going to make that happen, as well as weekly. And then you can track also all the weeks of the month. But the long and the short of it is this. These are the tasks that you need to do to bring in new leads and bring in new business.
Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Now, back to the show.
Now, how to set each goal is the other piece of that. So, you know, before we're just looking at the spreadsheet saying from a high level, what does it take to get to the numbers and how does that translate in? So by that, I mean, on this spreadsheet, I might have a line in here that says, hey, in order to hit my sales goal, I need 6, 8, 10, 25, I don't know how many, whatever it is, number of closed sales. So if I need, let's say just for round numbers, if I need 10 closed sales, but I have 20 people that I've gotten to the point of they've gone to an estimate level, we've written it out, we're reviewing it, I have a pretty strong sense that they're going to close or not. Otherwise, I won't show them that estimate, right? If I'm sitting down with them and I'm going through the estimate and they're going to say a yes or a no, at that point, I now can track, hey, I have 20 people that I've moved to the point of estimate review. Basically, we're bringing them to the home plate and they've decided no, they're out, or yes, they're safe, they're in, they're scored, they're a closed deal. So you're going to be able to track that on here. And if you back that up from the number of people you've brought to that estimate level a little higher up, you're going to look at people like very specific appointments that you've had where you've had a really good conversation. You know that they're going to be able to get to the point of getting an estimate written for them. They have a value associated with your service. You know that it's worth it for them. They see the value in you. You're ready to move to that estimate level that you should be tracking as well, right? And then before that, it's just preliminary conversations before you even have a deeper conversation about their problems and their issues and the value piece. You're actually going to be talking to them at a high level, just learning a little bit about them, and they're going to learn a little bit about you. And then up higher than that, you're going to count. So all along the way, you're going to figure out, what are these numbers? And then you have to figure out, what is my ratio? How quickly does it turn? So when I go back down to the bottom, out of the 20 people that I bring to written an estimate, and we go through it and say, are we going home or are we not going home? If 10 of them say no, and 10 of them say yes, you're at 50%, right? So now you know your percentage. If 8 of them say no, and you just figure out your numbers. And all along the way, you got to figure out your numbers so that you can back it up to how many of these high level activities do you need to do? So for me, I used to say my best way of getting business and my best way of getting new leads and having leads that were valuable that would have a better likelihood of closing might have been cold calls. It might have been referrals. It might have been a networking event that I went to that I need to go to more of those types of events, or referrals from previous clients or repeat clients, or there's different things that should be done at different levels. But outside of that funnel, when you trace it back, you should be able to see a clear line of, here's where I got most of my business last year. Here's where I got most of my business recently, if you don't have a lot of business. And if you don't have any business, start tracking it so that you can start to figure this out later. You might have to spend 6 months going through tracking numbers, but in 6 months, you'll know, here's how many things I need to do to get to that number.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So once you've figured that out, now you can start to figure out, all right, how many calls do I need to make? How many meetings do I need? How many conversations about their pain, their value in you? How long does that take? How many of these do I need? And you start tracing that down and you start tracking that. Those are the goals you need to have. What I started to find was, when you track those numbers and you start writing these down daily, what you'll start to find out is that by the end of the day, if you have no check marks or no numbers in each box as you look at this, you will start to realize that you were not productive that day.
That you were slacking off.
That you slacked, and you're not going to get a sale in whatever time it takes for you to close a sale. So if your lead time from a new lead that's promising to closing is 30 days, 30 days from now, you're not going to see that sale because you have nothing in the pipeline that day. And you can almost bet your dollar, all your dollars on just that you're not going to see any sales in 30 days if you've done nothing on Monday. In 30 days from Monday, if that's your lead time, you're going to see zero sales. And so you'll have a sense, and I know most of you already know that, already understand that, but the question that I have is are you tracking what you're doing, all the nuanced things? And I know this sounds too, and you know what? Everybody that I talk to and everybody that I know about that says sales is difficult and everything else, they hate tracking stuff. But it is the number one way of whether or not you know, are you on track or are you not on track, that you're going to have a good sales year or you're not going to have a good sales year, or are you even doing the right work? And I would submit to you that if you're a boss of somebody who works for you, who is your salesperson, who has not been performing, if you put them on this, they will start to perform, or you will find out where their problem is.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this, Rob, because it's your, you know what your target is. You outline what your goals are to hit that target, but that list helps you stay accountable to yourself to actually hit those targets. So.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think to me, all of those pieces are what woke me up as I started to learn about sales and started to just stumble a lot and fall down and realize, you know what, these are the things that actually pay me money. And I started tracking it. And I realized if I do more of that, what's weird is I get more sales. Like, how's that possible? But that's what happened. I found out, you know, if
that's
weird. Yeah. And, you know, we talked about networking, how to do it the right way. If you do the right things when you're networking, you're talking to the right people, you have a strategy when you go networking that you're going to talk to the right people, be introduced to the right people, set up meetings with the right people, they may not close that time. But I do know that when I started doing more networking and started setting up those conversations, even if they didn't go anywhere, 6, 8 months, 12 months later, I would get an email or a phone call from somebody saying, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but I needed to talk to you about X. And that's what we do. And hey, perfect. I got another lead that's actually warm, relatively warm. Who knows how warm until you talk to them, right? But that's how it works. You don't know until you start tracking it. Here's one other thing I found out. For me, I might find out that having LinkedIn connections is useless because I've done several LinkedIn connections. And just because I have 2,500 connections means nothing, right? Now, what if I change that nuanced thing of LinkedIn connections to purposeful connections where people know who I am? In other words, I have a potential lead that I wanted to talk to at a networking event. Didn't get a chance to talk to that person because they were in and out very quickly. What if I found him on LinkedIn, shot him a quick note that said, hey, I'm sorry I missed you at the networking event. I was looking to meet you at that event. And unfortunately, it sounds like I just missed you. Is there a way that you would be interested at all in connecting here on LinkedIn? I'd love to see if there's anybody that I know that you would like an introduction. And by doing that, it simply just says, let's connect. Nothing more. You have the right to look at my folks that I'm connected to. If there's somebody I can introduce you to. And then, you know what? Half those people will say, well, that's interesting because nobody else does that. Everybody always is just like trying to sell you crap on there, right? So in this case, you have somebody saying, hey, I'm looking to help you. And now you look at you in a little bit different light. And the next thing is they look at who you are, what you do, and they may come back around. And if they don't do it then, they might at the next networking event where you go to, when you do finally get to meet them, they'll go, oh yeah, you were that guy, without really saying it out loud. They'll think it. They'll go, oh yeah, you were the one that emailed me and through LinkedIn, and maybe we should talk, you know, that kind of thing. So it's planting seeds all the way through this. It's about planting seeds because there's not a one thing that I can think of that is more important than planting seed that will get you to where you want to go. And it's, you have to think of your long-term goal and your numbers, those numbers that we talked about earlier on for sales and what you need to hit. You may or may not be able to hit that sales number for the year, right? And maybe that's what you really want. But in the end, if you can't hit it, what's going to happen? Are you going to die? Are you going to starve to death? You might. But if you do, if you do, then you're maybe in the wrong business. No, what you probably need to do is look at what you're doing task-wise and start tracking. Because I guarantee you, if you have these sales goals and you've set them up and this is what you want to do, if you're not tracking, you probably are not hitting your sales goal. Don't even, most likely. One other point that I think we should make is that if you work for somebody who sets your sales goal for you, and you're saying to yourself, yeah, Rob, okay, that's great. This is really helpful, but I don't set my own. I just got to figure out how to get to them. If you get a sales goal that's way too high and you think it's too high, do you know if it's too high really? Have you really done the math? Have you checked it out? So run through your calculations. What does it take to get there? Back it up to the daily number or the weekly number. Now, if you've done that and that number is still way too high, or you need other things to happen for you to get there. So there was somebody I talked to one time where they were like, my sales goal is so high, there's no way I can hit that. My question back to them was, have you spoken to your manager, your boss, whatever? Have you asked them, all right, here's the numbers that I see. Here's what you set for me. Here's that means I need to have this many people brought to estimate portion where they're going home. And then here's how many meetings I need to have. And here's how many leads I need to have. Here, and back it all the way up to how many leads you need to have in order to get there based on your current ratios, right? And if those leads are coming to you from the business, from the company, and you don't have that many business leads coming in because they just don't have that many quantity wise, then you're never going to hit your goal. And I think it's valid for you to say to your manager, listen, I know this is nice of a goal. I know you want me to hit 1.5 million, but in order to get there, I need 100 sale or 100 leads. But you're only giving me 20. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Where do I get these other 80 sales leads?
Yep.
Because otherwise you're it's useless. You just can't do it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do stuff on your own and find your own leads. But if they're requiring you to use their leads, that's a different story. So then you have to have that real conversation. But in the my understanding of businesses that set the goals for their employees, a lot of times there's a logic and there's a reason behind it, and that's because they're hitting ultimate sales goals or overall goals that they're trying to hit so that they can make the, you know, streets numbers and different things like that. Okay, fine. That's all fine. But then you have to understand how you fit into that and how important is it to actually get to that number and what's the real number. Because sometimes they set overarching number too high anyway, and they do it on purpose. But for a bonus standpoint, you don't have to hit that high of a number, but they want you to stretch. All of that's fine. Honestly, the end message that I would have for you is in order to identify what is a productive goal, you need to know all of these numbers. You need to know what your sales numbers are. You need to basically find out where your goals are coming from a deep down need from you, your dream, where you want to go 5 years, 10 years, where do you want to go this year? And then break it down to the daily. And if you don't do that, you're missing a lot of data and missing a lot of information to be able to get you where you want to go and what you want to do. Does that make sense, Lane?
It makes total sense, Rob. It looks like I've got some homework to do before our next episode so that I can get all my my goals lined up.
Sounds good. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Slow down and close more.